Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
The Volume.
The 82 game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code JOHN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code J-O-H-N, JOHN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is up, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. It is Mock Draft Wednesday. So this will be the last podcast till the draft. We'll have stuff out Friday morning and up on YouTube Live during Thursday night, but I'm not going to do anything for Thursday just because the drafts come so fast. So this will be the last pod till the draft, and we're doing a mock draft. Top 10 mock draft. But we will do that today, as well as some Brandon Ayuk rumors about a potential trade coming Thursday night. And Andy Reid and Brett Veach sign extensions with the Chiefs. I wanted to talk a little bit about that because no-brainer for the Chiefs, but just in general, kind of crazy looking back at when Andy was fired from Philly. He didn't have that many options, and that's one that probably didn't age that well because a lot of teams, I'm sure, regret the opportunity to hire Andy. And then, of course, we'll do a little mailbag at John Middlecoff. At John Middlecoff is the Instagram. Just fire in those DMs. Fire in those DMs and get your question answered here on the show. We will get back to go low, do something next week, because a lot has happened, but so much football going on right now, we just didn't have time. So if you got any golf questions, at go low pod is separate from my Instagram, and you can fire in there, and we'll get golf questions on next week's show. But a lot of football here, mock draft, mailbag, you guys know the drill. If you listen on Collins' feed, subscribe to 3 and Out. YouTube, we got all of our content up there. TheVolume.com, we got merch. I'm wearing a 3 and Out hat right now, so go get yourself one of those. And let's get ready for the draft, baby, because it's almost here, and the mock drafts will be a thing of the past. But I wanted to play around a little bit today and put my own little spin on things. So we will get to that coming up. But first, you know, I got to tell you about my close personal friends, my partners, and the official ticketing app of this podcast. They're known as Game Time. What I need you to do is go to your smartphone. Mine's charging over there in the window. And download a little app. It's the Game Time app. Go to a game. Go to a concert. Go to a comedy show. And do it on us. Last night, turn on YouTube TV. Like during the NFL season, you get the four boxes. I got two hockey games, two NBA playoff games. I'm like, listen, not a huge hockey guy. Do want to watch the Lakers lose. But this is awesome. And playoff hockey, playoff basketball. I went to a playoff NBA game last year in Sacramento, Sacramento Warriors. It's fantastic. Anyone that saw the highlights of Jamal Murray hitting the game-winning shot, it's a pretty special atmosphere. Anyone living in the Northeast in New York area, I can't even imagine what MSG was like last night. If you live in Southern California and you want to go watch Lakers Nuggets, I got you. I got you, dog. Download that Game Time app, promo code John, J-O-H-N, J-O-H-N, and save $20 off your first pair of tickets. I'm trying to help you out here. Prices everywhere we go are astronomically high. Anytime you can get a discount, you got to pounce. So right now, download the Game Time app, buy any pair of tickets to any event, promo code John, save $20. Dun, dun, dun. Mock draft time. We will no longer have to guess here in about 24, 36 hours. We will know where all these players actually go. But until then, it's fun to guess. And I'm taking educated guesses. I've talked to a lot of people. Beside the Caleb Williams thing, I would even say Jaden feels pretty locked in. But I don't feel great about it. Like, I wouldn't bet my life savings that Jaden Daniels is going to be the Washington quarterback. Even though it does feel like that. Adam Peters ain't some big talker. So until his name comes across, I won't feel great, even though I'm probably going to put him there. So let's just start. The Chicago Bears. You know the cool part about this draft is no one even has to guess. There's not even a question. This guy would have been the number one pick last year. The Bears, because of Ryan Poles, one of the great trades potentially in NFL history if Caleb just becomes a top 10 quarterback. Everyone keeps talking about this guy becoming a superstar. If he can just become a top 10 quarterback, I truly believe it's one of the great trades of all time. Right? I mean, not even close. You traded essentially Bryce Young for DJ Moore and Caleb Williams and some other picks. Doesn't get any better than that. And the one thing I will say, I watched the pivot, Ryan Clark and Fred Taylor and Shannon Crowder. They sat down with him. And I've watched a couple interviews with Caleb. He's really smart. I enjoy watching him talk. And I think, listen, the intangible stuff, how much he wants it, his drive to be great, he says all the right things. It's not, life's not about what you say, it's about what you do. And he's going to have to prove it. Ton of pressure. But get to go to a place with a ton of offensive weaponry. I mean, you got two wide receivers who are legit. You got a solid tight end. You got some solid offensive linemen. Your team has another pick, which we'll get to later in this draft. Just a cool spot. Historic franchise that just gets jolted with some buzz. Caleb Williams, number one pick. I mean, I didn't even need to say anything. The number two pick. I'm giving Jaden Daniels to Washington, but I do think there's a chance that Drake May goes there. I just think that these draft picks, because just based on last season, can't be argued. You could argue Jaden had the best season of all the quarterbacks, him or Michael Penix. But it's about projecting. Now, if you factor in the offensive coordinator, that he's worked with a much more mobile quarterback before in Kyler Murray, but Cliff Kingsbury also coached Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes. So I also think you got to be careful about picking a player for your offensive coordinator. Because there's a chance in a couple years, if Washington has success, Cliff Kingsbury gets a job in like the Big 12. Or the SEC. As crazy as that sounds, like, get ready. It could happen. I'm giving him Jaden Daniels. Don't feel like, I definitely don't feel like Caleb, like that's 100% happening. I'm kind of being influenced by what everyone says. Now, granted, a lot of my friends in the NFL think that that's the right pick. I just put a bigger picture view. If you go back to 2022, Drake May was a guy that Nick Saban offered $5 million. And I saw someone in the YouTube comments on a video the other day was like, is that the dumbest decision anyone's ever made? Not to go to Alabama for $5 million instead of staying at North Carolina. But he made the decision, and ultimately he's going to be rich no matter what. And we'll get to Drake here in a minute. The New England Patriots are fascinating. I wanted to chalk them up for a trade back because I think there's been a lot of buzz. But my theory is not going to change on the owners are getting destroyed, constantly shit on. And a lot of it is self-inflicted. They produce the documentary that everyone hates. They produce the documentary that made Belichick look like an idiot. They did that. Kraft Productions. We know that Jonathan Kraft, not a big Belichick guy, couldn't wait to get his hands, you know, basically run the organization that Bill did for almost 2.5 decades. And I think that you get a little cute and try to trade back a couple picks and then move back up for a quarterback. I don't even think it's worth it. Even though they have a million holes, their roster is easily, you could argue it's bottom 2 or 3 in the NFL. It's probably one of the worst in all of professional team sports. It's that bad. So just drafting a quarterback here, even if it was Peyton Manning, is not going to make you good for the next couple years. But the way these teams think, there are some talented quarterbacks in this spot. Let's just take it. Last time a team took the third quarterback off the board, his name was Trey Lance. I do think the Patriots played a little safer here because Drake May viewed a little more as a project, a guy who's going to need some work. Well, if your team sucks, you're not in position to like risk that. J.J. McCarthy, my comp for him is Alex Smith. A little, in theory, higher floor. They've had a Michigan guy before. This guy's a proven winner. Obviously, the intangibles are off the charts. I'm going J.J. McCarthy here with the New England Patriots. Pick 4. Monty Ossenfort has been saying forever, we are open for business. We want to make a trade. He doesn't have to worry about a quarterback. He's got Kyler Murray, who we'll see over these next couple years if that's the right move or not, but obviously, Kyler Murray is going to be their quarterback for the foreseeable future. And they have a lot of needs. They also have an extra first-round pick because of the trade last year with the Houston Texans. I think that the Arizona Cardinals make a trade. And I think they trade with the New York Giants. The New York Giants just had a disastrous season. They've had a lot of those in the last 6-7 years. I mean, kind of embarrassing. They got excited for Tommy DeVito. If you remember, when the Buffalo Bills drafted Josh Allen, Brian Daboll was the offensive coordinator. You drafted who? This guy who can't complete, who couldn't hit water if he was sitting in a boat? Well, who was the assistant GM? Oh, the GM of the New York Giants as well, Joe Shane. So Shane and Daboll come from Buffalo, where they took a major project who was a way bigger project and had never done anything close to what Drake May had done in 2022. And it changed all their lives. It changed Buffalo's franchise trajectory. It got those two guys, the head coach and the GM job of the New York freaking Giants. And let's face it, they have a million needs, 100%. Their quarterback situation sucks. They have Daniel Jones coming off an ACL who isn't that good, making a ton of money. And they're just kind of a lifeless franchise. You take Drake May and you say in the press conference, this guy reminds us a lot of Josh Allen. Now, whether that, you know, comes to fruition and becomes true over time, who knows? But I'll tell you what it does. It gets people excited. And it's the right, like, what else are you going to do? Take a wide receiver, sit there at 6? You have no, who's going to throw him the ball? So this is my first trade. The Arizona Cardinals only have to move back a couple spots. They can still get one of the top players on their draft board. They accumulate an extra, you know, early second day pick, and they're feeling good. The Chargers. Everybody and their mother. Wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. I've been watching Jim Harbaugh's career since I went with my dad to watch the University of San Diego play UC Davis when I was home for Thanksgiving break. Jim Harbaugh went to Stanford and San Francisco and won a ton of games and didn't depend on wide receivers. Think about some of his teams in Michigan. Hell, his great teams in Michigan. Not a wide receiver dependent operation. He is dependent on the line of scrimmage, the running game, and the quarterback playing under control. He has never looked for Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen type play out of his quarterback. That's not the way he coaches. That's not the way he builds a team. And at the owners' meetings, he went on a long, long kind of diatribe about the importance of the offensive line. I think the Chargers go offensive lineman here. I'm going to give him Joe Alt, move him to right tackle. You got Slater at left tackle. And all of a sudden, you know, in theory, you have one of the better tackle tandems in the NFL. I was listening to a podcast where Daniel Jeremiah gave them the dude from Alabama. I'm going to go with Alt, but ultimately, I think they go offensive lineman here. When everyone is going to be saying, why didn't you take Marvin Harrison? Because Jim Harbaugh hasn't had Marvin Harrisons. That's not the way he plays. Well, he's got Justin Herbert. He's going to try to make Justin Herbert a way more efficient quarterback. He's going to try to take pressure off him. I think the Chargers go O-line here at 5. 6, this is an easy one. Cardinals move back a couple spots. They just take Marvin Harrison. It's a no-brainer. They turn in the card with 8 minutes left on the clock. Now, the league won't read it till there's 1 minute left on the clock because they want to play this out, help their partners out, everyone make money. If you notice, in the first round, they don't turn in picks for the most part with like 7 minutes left on the clock. This is a television show. I think that decision would be made in a New York minute. Marvin Harrison, Arizona Cardinals, all of a sudden, you get Kyler Murray a legitimate weapon to go with tight end who's already good, and then you continue to build it with your other picks, you know, your second overall pick or your second pick later in the first round. All of a sudden, you go, God, Arizona's got some young talent on the team. 7, this is another one. A lot like the Chargers. Everyone said the Chargers are going to take wide receiver. Everyone said the Titans are going to take an offensive lineman. You know the first guy I heard? What was I listening to? Oh, it was Diana Rossini. I was at the gym today and I threw on the Athletic podcast and she just went through her notes. I had heard the same thing. To keep an eye on the Tennessee Titans taking Malik Nabers at 7. I think everyone just assumes because they have a huge need. Well, what did Brian Callahan, when he got the job, do? He hired his father, who was under contract with the Browns, but because of the situation, they let him out of his contract, and he went to work with dad. A lot like what happened with Kubiak once upon a time with Kyle Shanahan letting him go work with Mike. Well, part of having that asset is being able to get guys in the second, third, fourth round and having your dad turn them into players. But I also think they believe that Malik Nabers' talent is probably a top 3 or 4 guy in this entire draft, non-quarterback. You put him with Calvin Ridley. They got DeAndre Hopkins, who's a little older, whose contract, I think, runs out after the season. They signed Tony Pollard. They need to find out immediately. Will Levis is getting 1 year, and it's this year. Prove you can play, because if you can't, we're moving on. That's how fast we operate in the NFL. No one waits anymore. And there's going to be no question mark if I give you Malik Nabers, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, and Tony Pollard. Like, we got enough. And then it's on my pops to, we'll draft some more offensive linemen, coach those guys up. Brian Callahan, where does he come from? Cincinnati Bengals. What did the Cincinnati Bengals have? Early on, the offensive line wasn't great. What did they do? Invest in the wide receiver position. Remember, everyone said, including me, I wouldn't go Jamar Chase. I would take Penei Sewell. I'll promise you this. The Bengals do not regret that selection. Now, these players aren't exactly alike, but I think if Malik Nabers is on the board and they can't trade back, I think he's the pick at 7. Pick 8, the Atlanta Falcons. They've picked every skill guy under the sun in the last 3 or 4 years in the top 10. They obviously don't need a wide receiver, tight end, or running back. They view their offensive line as pretty good. Pass rush sucks. Many people in the league don't believe there's an edge rusher that is worthy of a top 10 pick. Dallas Turner, all the attributes, kind of a project, given where you'd have to pick him. Latu, medically retired because of a neck. And Jared Verse, more of a power rusher, and they play in a dome. Ideally, Dallas Turner makes more sense. But who's their coach? Raheem Morris. Where'd Raheem Morris come from? The Rams. Who's the Rams' best defensive player? Aaron Donald. Byron Murphy, who I know multiple people that have spent a ton of time at Texas, he's one of their favorite players in the draft. Checks all the boxes on the field and checks all the boxes off the field. What's the knock on him? A little smaller. Little under 6'2". Saw one of Lance Zierlein's comp to him was Ed Oliver, who went to Houston, big recruit. Well, what pick did Ed Oliver go to the Buffalo Bills? Oh, he was the 9th pick. I think the Atlanta Falcons just take the best defensive lineman on the board. And I think a lot of people, a lot of teams in this draft will have Murphy as their top defensive lineman. And in 2024, obviously, you know, edge rushers are great. What the hell's the difference? Like, Aaron Donald was the best defensive player in the league for a long, long time. J.J. Watt, in his prime, was like this hybrid interior-exterior rusher. Fletcher Cox is going to go to the Hall of Fame, lined up over guards. So if I think this guy is an impact player, I'm not saying he's going to be Aaron Donald, but I just have a track record of working with a player that has similar measurables. Well, what separated Aaron Donald? Obviously, he's really talented. His just freakish work ethic, desire, and drive and love of football. And he just played his ass off. Well, I think a lot of people think Murphy falls under that category. So I'm going Atlanta Falcons, take Byron Murphy here with the 8th pick. We have a trade at 9. The Bears easily could take Rome Odunze right here. Easily. And no one would fault them if they did that. But I also think if you're at 9 and some of these teams now, we got Caleb off the board, Jaden off the board, JJ off the board, Drake May off the board. The Raiders are pretty desperate. And for a long, long time, if you go to YouTube and you just type in Al Davis Raiders and just some of the videos that have been made over them in the history of the franchise from NFL films, he hung his hat on press coverage, athletic DBs, and speed wide receivers and throwing bombs. He loved going deep. That was the Raider way. Just win, baby. And they've obviously gone far away from that and been a pretty average to below franchise for a long, long time. Well, Michael Penix is a fascinating guy because if Penix didn't have the injury history, even if he was his age, been in college a little longer, some of these other guys, I think we would all agree universally, he's a top 10 pick. Then he goes to the pro day and works out. If Al Davis was alive, Michael Penix would be a Raider. Now, Antonio Pierce keeps saying, I'm a Raider. I know the Raider way. Well, where does Telesco come from? The Chargers. And what did they just get that kind of changed their franchise? Justin Herbert. What does he do pretty well? Big arm. Throws the ball down the field. The Raiders are pretty desperate. They have a team with some talented, elite impact guys. Crosby, elite. Devontae, elite. Colton Miller, damn good. Like, they got some pieces there. They're also in a division now with the best team in football, and Jim Harbaugh just showed up for the Chargers. Like, you're not going to be competing to make the playoffs with Gardner Minshew. I don't care what he just did in Indianapolis. He's a really good backup, and I feel pretty good about it. I think the Raiders trade up to pick 9. With the Chicago Bears, they just move back a couple spots, still can get a sweet player, add, I don't know, a third-round pick or something, and Michael Penix is drafted, and he becomes a Raider. 10. I didn't even need to think about this. This one was easy. This one's been out there for a long time. I've talked to people in the league that say, yeah, it's going to happen. Jets are desperate. They have to win right now. They do not have a choice. if you just based on what this guy did over the course of career, I don't think you could argue that he's been one of the best players in college football for three straight years. And he didn't play at some random school. He literally played at a school that won back-to-back national championships and was right there for the playoffs till Nick Saban upset him in the SEC championship game. He played on a team with what felt like 50 NFL players. I think over the course of 2 years, like 15 of their defensive players were drafted. He went up against these guys every day in practice, and he started immediately. Kid from Napa, goes to Georgia, dominates immediately. I don't see how Brock Bowers isn't good. He's not your 1988 tight end. He is really more of a slot wide receiver hybrid. Well, who's going to go down as one of the greatest tight ends of all time? Travis Kelce plays that role. Put him with Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall. Put all of our chips in the middle of the table. Like, you've already... Listen, I think it'd be easy to go tackle here. Here's the problem, though, and I could easily talk myself out of it if I'm Joe Douglas. What if our two tackles stay healthy, which is a big if? Then that guy doesn't even help us out. So I think the Jets go Brock Bowers. So to recap, Caleb, 1. Jaden, 2. J.J. McCarthy, was going to shock some people, 3. Drake May, because of a trade-up New York Giants, get their quarterback. Joe Alt, Chargers. Marvin Harrison, Cardinals. Malik Nabers, Titans. Byron Murphy, defensive tackle from the University of Texas, goes to the Atlanta Falcons. Penix, Raiders at 9. And Brock Bowers rounds out the top 10, which I saw you get some tasty odds on DraftKings, plus odds for him to be a top 10 pick. That's my mock draft.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
The NBA playoffs are here. We'll be breaking down all the action on the Colin Cowherd podcast. You'll get my best takes, great guests like my buddy Nick Wright. Check out the Colin Cowherd podcast, part of the Volume Network, available on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts.
Couple other quick things. Rap Sheet said today from Detroit that it is still up in the air if the 49ers were to trade Brandon Ayuk on draft day. Michael Silver wrote something in the San Francisco Chronicle basically reiterating that same thing. Trading Ayuk on Thursday is in play. Could be Friday, depending on the picks you get for him. To me, this gets back to the Trey Lance trade. For 3 years, they got nothing. They drafted Trey Lance in 2021, started 4 games, wasn't any good. They didn't have a first-round pick in 22 or 23. Now, they have been really good over that period of time. But in that Chiefs game, you felt their lack of depth. Because they have missed on some third and fourth rounders and even a second rounder in recent memory. The pressure on those guys were essentially their first round picks, and Drake Jackson's nowhere to be found. Danny Gray, done nothing. Ty Davis Price, the running back from LSU, practice squatter. Because of their lack of draft capital, has hurt their depth. But the problem with their team is they already had some really high-end players. They had to pay a lot of money. Debo, ton of money. They acquired McCaffrey, ton of money. Trent Williams, ton of money. Hargrave, ton of money. Bosa, historic money. Fred Warner, ton of money. Charvarius Ward, ton of money. They're paying guys a lot of cash. So you can tell me, oh, Brock Purdy makes something or makes nothing. Totally agree. But they have 6-7 other guys that are being paid premiums. And because of their lack of draft capital over the last couple years and whiffing on some second and third round picks, which were their first round picks, like, they're kind of in a weird spot. Do they love Brandon Ayuk? 100%. How could you not? Guy's a fucking stud. Brandon Ayuk could play for all of our teams every day of the week and twice on Sunday. You want that guy in the trenches. But this is a business, and you have to build your team. And I think if they could choose, if it was just scratch, and you could just get rid of one and keep one for the next 5 years, they would keep Ayuk over Debo. But because of the money they pay Debo, they're kind of stuck with him. So now you look at it and you go, well, how do we gain some draft capital? Trent Williams, 35 years old. Like, how are we ever going to get another offensive tackle? Well, I think we got to think. Now, you're not going to give him away. Ideally, you'd like a pick in the late teens, early 20s. Are you going to get that? I don't know. Because if you think of a recent comp of a guy that was traded on draft night was A.J. Brown. Pick 17. Well, A.J. Brown's a better player than Brandon Ayuk. Last year, I think they did entertain it in that like mid-20s stretch. I think they were kind of hoping the Ravens would be interested in doing a deal. But the Ravens got Zay Flowers, who's excellent, and now makes way less. Because part of the problem is, and Rap Sheet said this, is the Niners are prepared to pay him. I'm sure they're cool with paying him like $23 million. But Ayuk and his representation know right now there are other teams prepared to pay him more. This is like the L'Jarius Sneed situation. It's like the player has a little leverage once he knows these other teams are willing to pay me more. Then it's on you to figure out the compensation. So would you take... And here's the thing. If you do make the trade, the pressure on you to nail the picks is everything. Because I know Brandon Ayuk is good. The Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill, who's obviously better than Ayuk and one of the greatest receivers of all time. But what did they immediately do? They got picked one in the early 20s and one in, you know, their own pick. They got two impact starters. One guy in Trent McDuffie that looks like one of the best DBs in the league. And Karlofskis is just a really good player. Starter on a Super Bowl team. 1-2. So I think the Niners, if they knew they'd get that, they would do it. But that's where the risk is. Like, they've done it before. They're like, you know, we don't really want to pay Buckner 20-plus a year 5 years ago, so we'll trade him for the 13th overall pick. Was the right move. At the time, celebrated. I'd trade DeForest Buckner all day long and every day for the 13th overall pick. The problem was, is they got cute. Is they traded with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Backup pick. The Buccaneers took Tristan Wirfs, who's become a Pro Bowl, All-Pro level talent and stalwart for their franchise. And they took Javon Kinlaw, who they thought would be Buckner's replacement. Well, in 2024, Kinlaw's no longer on the team. For the most part, it was a disaster for them. Not all his fault. His knee doesn't work. And he was constantly battling injuries. So I think you get to these points where your previous history impacts you. It just does. It's why, is there a chance that Adam Peters really likes Drake May? Hell yeah. But he goes, you know, I just saw what a project, if it doesn't go well, and we had Kyle freaking Shanahan, and it was a disaster. I just saw Jaden Daniels dominate. I know if I just plan on the trajectory, I feel that's safer. So the safe thing here, keep Ayuk. But you can't always do that. For a long period of time, Belichick didn't do the safe thing. And he benefited from it. And he was able to reset his salary cap. Andy Reid, since trading Tyreek Hill, has won two freaking Super Bowls. That was definitely not the safe thing. Look at the Packers. In a two-year span, they traded Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers. And now it looks like, I would imagine, most people are going to pick them to have 10-plus wins this year. So if you want to play it safe in life, you're probably, if you're going to drive in the slow lane, you're probably going to avoid more wrecks than those driving in the fast lane. But those guys are going to consistently lap you if they don't get in wrecks. So I see where they're coming from. I just know this. If you make the trade for whatever, pick 22, a couple second-round picks, whatever it turns out to be, you better fucking be right on the guys you pick. And they better have an immediate impact. Because you're trying to win the Super Bowl now. And here's the other thing. Your young quarterback, who has been a revelation, history of the NFL, we've never seen anything quite like it, the last pick in the draft being this good, him and Brandon Ayuk have pretty good chemistry. Like, kind of works, you know? He's his number one target. So you remove that, you also risk throwing off Brock Purdy's game, which would have, a snowball effect of negativity. It's one thing just to lose Ayuk and try to replace him. It's another thing then if it bleeds into your quarterback, if he doesn't have a repertoire with whoever you bring in. So that's what I like about that's what I like about life. Take some big swings. Some work. And when you get extra credit when they do. And when they don't, people talk a lot of shit. It's like, you didn't have to do that. Last but not least, the power of getting your coach right changes your franchise. And I think hiring a coach, is a lot like draft picks. No one actually knows. No one does. No one had any clue that when Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay signed with the Rams and the Niners in 2017, in 2024, we talk about those two the way we do. Even though both of them, especially Kyle, had been an offensive coordinator for a long time, but we have seen countless up-and-coming offensive coordinators just being overwhelmed and failing, right? It happens all the time. Mike Tomlin was in his early 30s. Most people hadn't even heard of the guy. No one saw that coming. Even John Harbaugh was a special teams coach whose brother had played in the NFL for a long time. The Harbaugh name wasn't quite as sexy in coaching circles in 2006 and 7 as it is now. But sometimes guys are available. It's like, yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer. Like Jim Harbaugh. When Michigan hired him, of course he was successful. The Chargers, of course he's going to be successful. Pete Carroll, when Seattle hired him. It's like, well, he's won before in the NFL. He just had one of the great programs in the history of college football. Yeah, it's probably going to work. And it did. Andy Reid, it had ended so ugly in Philadelphia. Trust me, I know I was there. With a 4-win season, I think everything he had accomplished, people in a weird way like forgot about or thought that was something of the past. Because he had proven for over a decade, I'm going to win. Maybe not the Super Bowl, but we're going to be in the playoffs the majority of times and win playoff games. We are going to be a high-end franchise. And looking back when he signed with the Chiefs, there has to be, if we went back and broke it down, 25-plus teams that regret not firing their coach immediately and hiring. But I think Andy Reid was viewed as like, yes, best days are behind him. Not that good. Losing touch. What's he, like, without Donovan McNabb, what's he really done? It's like, well, he took Michael Vick out of Leavenworth and almost won the MVP. We had a bunch of injuries in 2012, and it was ugly. And the dream team, because it was so hyped up, clearly was somewhat of a black mark, I guess, at the time on his resume. Well, he took Alex Smith, and they immediately made the playoffs like 5 of 6 years in a division with Peyton freaking Manning and Phillip Rivers in the prime of his career. And then, like any good coach, if you get the right quarterback, Belichick, Brady, Walsh, Montana, the equivalent of Parcells with Lawrence Taylor. I know he's not a quarterback, but his impact essentially was. It's not going to be a fair fight. And because of Brett Veach, who has been Andy's right-hand man for like 20-plus years, who after the John Dorsey situation with the owner fell apart and they named Veach, it hasn't really been a fair fight. They might have rough stretches during the season, but we have seen now for over half a decade in the playoffs, they are the clear cream of the crop. And here's the other thing. Over that period of time, the AFC has been better than the NFC because I got to play Josh Allen every year. Think how many times the Chiefs have played Josh Allen in the playoffs. Back-to-back years, we played Joe freaking Burrow. He even got us one time. Last year, we played Lamar Jackson on the road. It's reported that Andy Reid will now be the highest paid coach in the league. Sean Payton makes $18 million, and Andy's going to make more than that. Whatever Andy Reid is making, it's a deal for Clark Hunt. I don't think Andy should make more than maybe Patrick Mahomes. You could argue the talent more important than the coach. But is there another guy, including Chris Jones, that he should make less than? At worst, he should make the same. If I told you right now that he makes $30-plus million, no one would bat an eye. If he was a free agent tomorrow, would a team give him 4 years, $120 million, $30 million a year? Bet your ass they would. So Clark Hunt just got a deal with Andy Reid. He did. Because Andy and now Veach and Mahomes have turned the Chiefs into, like, you know, this kind of historic franchise, one of the original franchises. Hank Stram, big part of all the old films, you know, the NFL films and Steve Sable, to one of the biggest brands in the NFL, to the marquee team in the National Football League with the marquee player. And the reason that player is there is because of Veach and Andy. So props to those guys for getting extensions. One thing I always say is I'll never be around another human that I've ever seen work longer. His work stamina is unparalleled. Maybe there are people that have the same, but I think it's impossible to have more. I think it'd be impossible to have more. And I hear stories whenever I go to the combine. I obviously know the majority of people and the coaching staff and just around him. They say his love for football, and I'm not talking during the season. I'm talking like May. I'm talking like June, texting people, hey, swing by the office, I got an idea. And I get back all the time, or I mean, I say this all the time, is find what you love to do and attempt to do that for your profession, because it's so much easier to just be passionate about working. Because I don't care what you do, working becomes a job. Whether you're a football coach, whether you're a car salesman, whether you're digging ditches. Obviously, some are more difficult physically on your body, but Andy Reid's love of football, his passion for football, and obviously he's a very talented coach. And I think what makes him unique, a little like Pete Carroll, and why he's perfect for this day and age of players, but he's had success with old school players as well, is he's a California kid. So his disposition is not angry screaming all the time. He's not a swearer and a cusser. And he can be hard, and he runs a tight ship. Like, if you're not sitting out many practices during the season, it's not a country club. Kelsey Travis on his podcast has reiterated that over the years. This is not a place for everybody. Even though he's not screaming at you all the time like maybe Belichick or on you like that. But what he's done with the Kansas City Chiefs, absolutely remarkable, and you know, fun to watch. He's not going anywhere, him and Veach.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
So, if I'm in the AFC, buckle up. Because the Chiefs are going to be the clear favorite until they're not. Okay, Middlecoff mailbag time. You guys know the drill. DMs wide open, at John Middlecoff, Instagram, fire in those messages. Start with Mitchell. Mailbag question. The Trey Lance experiment obviously failed. But as a concept, athletic quarterback boosting an already high floor Shanahan system, is it a good one? If we theoretically drop Josh Allen onto the Niners, do both Allen and the offense as a whole actually get better? Or would they sacrifice the timing that makes them special to accommodate the other? If the 49ers had Josh Allen, they would 100% have a Super Bowl, if not multiple. I mean, they made it to the NFC Championship with a banged up Jimmy Garoppolo a couple years ago. So I don't even think it's a question mark. That if would the 49ers want Josh Allen? 100%. He actually, specifically Josh Allen, I think is a big reason that they drafted Trey Lance. The problem with Trey Lance is his athleticism actually isn't that great. He didn't run very fast. When you watched him run, he was a hesitant runner. His play speed wasn't great. So, like, Purdy is a more functional athlete on the field. And look what he's done for the Niners. He made some huge plays with his legs in the playoffs and over the course of his career. So, yeah, I mean, to me, Josh Allen is easily the second best quarterback in the NFL. What about Joe Burrow? Yeah, we'll see how he comes back from injury. But, yes. The answer is yes. Packer fan here from Ireland. Over the last few years in the NFL, it seems like there's always a new story about some shitty owner ruining their team. I wonder how much the Packers' sustained success over the decades comes down to its unique corporate structure, having one unpredictable guy in charge. I understand a great deal of success comes from back-to-back great quarterbacks, but you could make the argument that the owners would have flat-out overruled Ted Thompson and Goody and refused to move on. I don't think you can make that argument. I think we would all agree. There is no chance that they trade Brett Favre. And after the MVPs trading Aaron Rodgers, because one thing the owner would have done is attempt to facilitate an improved relationship. So when it comes to those specific situations, 1,000,000%, it has benefited the Packers. Because the football people, with no influence from the money, got to influence the right football decision. It's very rare, that Robert Kraft is a complete outlier. That he basically let Belichick, well, he kind of overruled him with Jimmy Garoppolo, and then he let him make the decision. I guess actually it's happened before. I mean, Bill Walsh traded Joe Montana. Polian, I guess it was Grigson when they cut, but it was really the owner when they cut Peyton Manning. It's a very tough decision. It really is, because you get a transcendent player, the popularity they have in the league at that position, the popularity they have for the business of your football team. But the Packers are a great example. If you trust your football people, let them cook and then just enjoy the dinner. Thoughts on the Jets pick at number 10? Do they take a tackle that probably won't start until someone gets hurt? Or do they take the best pass catcher available, which is probably Bowers? Well, I said it in the mock draft. I think they would pass on a tackle. And a lot of people in the NFL believe that too. Because in fairness to their thinking, if, again, big if, capital letters I, capital letter F, your two tackles stay healthy and you draft a tackle and he can't really play guard, that guy wouldn't play much at all. So all of a sudden you've used this high-valued asset. Pretty sure they don't have a second-round pick because the Packers have it, and you don't get anything out of it. Win-now mode, I think Bowers is their pick, unless Bowers is off the board. This is a golf podcast, but it's about Tiger Woods, so I'll answer it. What would Tiger have shot at Augusta had he been able to use a cart? Would he have been competitive? Well, Augusta doesn't let you use carts. So any other course, that would work, but there's just no golf carts at Augusta. So hypothetically thinking, yes, he would play better. As someone who's walked a little bit in golf when I'm trying to get back in shape, especially in the summer, it takes a little bit out of you. Now, granted, you know, me or you are carrying our own bag or pushing your own bag, a little different when you have a caddy, but still, a lot of wear and tear on those legs that are fused together. As a fellow millennial, 38, your perspective on sports, life, finance. I grinded it out in a shitty industry for 10 years, making no money, and then took the skills I developed and jumped into the tech industry. 6 years later, I'm making four times what I used to make and haven't looked back. Congratulations, Colby. Awesome to hear. Keep up the fresh takes. Okay, on to the mailbag. What would be required to make a small market team like the Panthers into a major player? I know the owner kind of sucks, but does the smaller market make it inherently more difficult to attract high-end free agent talent? Or does money ultimately talk in the eyes of players? And second, when scouting college players, how much does the rest of the team factor in to the process? For example, big SC fan here, South Carolina. And saw firsthand Rattler and Xavier Leggett carry a truly bad team. On your first question, if you're really good and you have star player like you once did with Cam Newton, you guys were a major player. I mean, you guys were playing on prime time, Sunday night football, Monday night football. The Panthers with Cam Newton in the good years mattered in the NFL. The market size doesn't dictate. This is not basketball, where the NBA is kind of screwed because Curry got bounced after a play-in game and LeBron's going to get swept in four. The equivalent in football, if OKC was the one seed, it would be, it doesn't matter. We watch. I'm not watching OKC, right? I'll watch the Lakers, and I have. Even the Knicks Sixers. You couldn't pay me to watch some of these other series. In football, the Chiefs aren't a big market. They get Mahomes, they get Andy Reid, they become immediately a major player. The Packers for decades, Favre, Rodgers, now Jordan Love, major player. You guys, Cam Newton, major player. If Bryce Young becomes a star, you'll be a major player. When it comes to the money on free agents, for the most part, star players don't really hit free agency. So like, you're not really missing out that often on guys, I would say, if you don't quote-unquote sign a guy. But the NFL money talks. Guys are going to go where the most money is offered. Your market size is irrelevant. Rattler, the wide receiver, definitely factor in the team, right? I think sometimes you're more critical when a guy's on a really good team. You kind of nitpick him. You're like, God, he should have done more of this and that. When a guy excels on a team that is the underdog in the majority of the games you're playing, right? Like, think of who you're the underdog against. Clemson, Georgia, Tennessee, Bama, LSU, any of those teams if you play. Ole Miss. Yeah, it 100% factors in. And it's hard. I mean, this is why you got to know as a scout or a college scouting director the conferences and the talent on all the teams really well. Because to, I would say, dissect that stuff, you can't have surface knowledge. Right? You follow South Carolina football, right? So you have a really good idea of your team. And if you've been following them long enough, you've seen good and bad teams, right? With Spurrier, you know what it looks like. And then you definitely know what it looks like because you play arguably the best team in the country every single year in Georgia. Your rival is Clemson, who's been one of the best teams in the country for a decade. So you got a pretty good feel. So like if I'm the West Coast scout, I might not know the SEC inside and out. So it's if I'm just watching a player, I can evaluate that player, his skills, but his competition, it can be a little more difficult. There's a lot of context in college scouting. That's what makes it difficult. Like a guy, if I play at, let's just pick a school, Oklahoma, and I'm a pass rusher, and I have 10 sacks in a season, and I'm coming out. I had 10 sacks, and I'm one of the better, more productive pass rushers in the conference. Well, what if 5 of those sacks came in non-conference games against non-Power 5 opponents? And 3 of those 5 sacks came against a D1 AA team. And when I played 2 teams in our conference, Texas and, let's just say, Kansas State, and they both have a draftable tackle, and I went against both those guys and I was not productive, that's where you really got to kind of nitpick it. And it's hard. And then you got to figure out, is it like, does he have the skills to translate? Is he taking advantage of shittier competition? It's why the SEC is relatively easy to evaluate. Like if you're doing it on a weekly basis, you're just seeing them constantly against NFL teams or NFL players. Right? You're like, well, that guy's a second rounder. This week he's going up against a fourth rounder. Last year he smoked the dude. That guy went in the second round. Or that guy kicked his ass, and that dude was a top 10 pick. So you can kind of put all the context, the pieces of the puzzle together. That's kind of what you're attempting to do. I'm listening to your most recent mailbag and currently hearing you talk about choosing between an O-lineman and a wide receiver. You said if an O-lineman and a wide receiver were the same grade, you would choose the lineman every single time. That had me reflecting on the 21 draft. When the Bengals selected Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell. I know Burrow suggested to the organization that they draft Chase, who was his college teammate and good buddy, but do you think the Bengals now look back and regret the decision, especially considering Burrow's injury concerns? I don't think they regret it at all. I think we all agree Ja'Marr Chase is a top 2 or 3 wide receiver in the NFL. And yeah, I think you would rather have Ja'Marr Chase than not. I like Penei Sewell. He's a good player. But I think if you just said, who would you rather have in that scenario for that team, you would take Chase. Now, if you look at would the Lions trade Sewell for Chase? Probably not. I think it kind of depends. I think Chase has a chance to be a Hall of Famer. And Penei Sewell doesn't. So I think you could argue, are they the same grade as a player? Now, if you told me I got Trent Williams or Ja'Marr Chase, Tyron Smith coming out of college, all these guys, yeah. If I'm just getting a starter offensive lineman, I think the way you would look at it like this. The Chargers are a good example. If you think Marvin Harrison and Joe Alt are both going to be Pro Bowl level players, obviously if you do, one guy turns out to be one of the greatest of all time, you would rather take that guy. But if you just view those guys as the same, and especially Harbaugh, you just take him, meaning the O-lineman. So maybe I contradicted myself a little bit there because I said the Bengals would take Chase. But I don't think Penei Sewell, who is good, I think the Bengals feel pretty good about that one. Are we sure Robert Kraft is an elite owner? I'm not saying he's a bum, but people forget that before Brady and Bill, he was known for constant meddling. Furthermore, he ran two Hall of Fame coaches, Parcells, Pete Carroll, out of town. And later, after going to the playoffs 2 of 3 years, Kraft didn't meddle when Belichick wanted to keep Brady as a starter in 01. But after that, we give him credit for not meddling when the Pats were going to the Super Bowl basically every other year. Not exactly a difficult task. If the team isn't in the conference championship, he gets extremely hands-on. What are your thoughts on Robert Jonathan Kraft as owners in 2024? Can you describe what makes an elite owner? And are there any sub-500 teams that you would say have elite ownership? I think the key to any owner, the number one key to a good owner, hire and pay a premium for try to hire the best people possible, and then don't do anything beside the business side of the team. When you start getting involved, and there's a difference, like a guy hits his girlfriend, like, hey, we're cutting this guy and the coach doesn't want, I have no problem with that. I'm talking about being in the draft room, like Jonathan Kraft currently is with Elliott Wolf, and like giving his feedback on what he wants to do. I think that is a recipe for a fucking disaster. We saw it with Dan Snyder for 20 years. We see it happening with David Tepper right now, telling them what plays to run. Jimmy Haslam was way too involved. You know who's actually a pretty good owner? You're gonna, in terms, Mark Davis. You get hired, you get to do whatever you want, which is a coach's and GM's dream. Now, part of also being a good owner is hiring the right people, and you could argue he has not done that. But you go work for him, you get to do whatever you want. You work for Jonathan Kraft right now? No chance. So I'm with you. Like, he owned the team during that period of time. But he's constantly, and I'm putting this more on Jonathan than Robert, because Robert's 82 years old or whatever now. I think Jonathan wants to play GM. I think Jonathan's been dreaming about this day since the moment he could kick Bill out of the building. Then I get to run the show. And look what they did. Elliott Wolf, longtime personnel guy, son of Ron Wolf, one of the most legendary GMs in the history of the league. You think Elliott Wolf's in charge? Fuck no. He's doing whatever Jonathan tells him to do or has to run it by him. That's why Diana Rossini, I listened to her talk on the podcast, saying when you talk to other GMs, they say that Jonathan Kraft's the guy running the show. And I think where they find that out is they ask Elliott, hey, would you be interested in this? What about this? What about this deal? He's like, I got to run it by Jonathan. And listen, there's nothing wrong with like running something by your owner when you're making a big trade or a big signing, but it does feel like he wants to be the grand poobah. So it's one of the reasons that I'm shorting the Patriots for the foreseeable future. Coward once said, after Stafford won the Super Bowl, Stafford doesn't get the respect he deserves because he stayed in Detroit too long. I agree. Do you agree? I think if Matt Stafford would have played for a winning franchise during the bulk of his career, I think we would talk about him like we talk about Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. I don't know if we would ever been considered the top dog because of Manning and Brady and Rodgers, but I think he would have been constantly considered a top five quarterback. And I would say for the most part, he never was considered that. You know his number one supporter over the years? Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers constantly talked him up. Why? Play in the same division, and when you're studying your divisional opponents, you just watch their games. Well, who do you think he saw a ton on cross tape over a decade? Matt Stafford. And he's thinking, God, this guy kind of looks like me. So, yes, I agree. The good thing for Stafford is he's made $250 million. So, Super Bowl champion, one of the richest guys in league history. Say it all worked out for him. It's to the point where I can't even watch some of these other shows because their analysis is so bombastic and lazy. Just for hot takes. Question. What about Antonio Pierce as a leader is so, I don't even know what word he's shooting for here, so specific? It seems like the players are outspokenly committed to him more than what we've seen with most coaches. Well, I think, I don't know the guy, but I think he was a team captain level guy as a player, as a middle linebacker. So when you play middle linebacker, when you play free safety, when you play quarterback, and you're like one of the leaders of the team, you just have some natural ability to connect with people on and off the field. Obviously, in the NFL, you got to be a really good player to be, you know, not just a team captain, starter, and then on a really good team. Well, he was that level guy on a really good team under a really good coach. So I would imagine, if I had to guess, Antonio Pierce, who played under Tom Coughlin, has a good balance of being really intense and holding people to a high standard, but then just relating to guys. Like, that's what good coaches are able to do. They're able to form a powerful relationship. I saw this thing that went viral from Dan Quinn in a team meeting with his coaches. And basically what he said is, I need all you guys to form good relationships with your players. Because when you have a good relationship with the guy you're coaching, you can coach him harder. Which is just kind of common sense, right? Why can your parents ride you more than some random person on the street? Have a lot of equity with those people. Why can Andy Reid and Travis Kelce shove each other on the sideline? Andy's coached them for a decade. So when you know a guy intimately, with a relationship, no different than your friends from high school or college as you get older, your relationship with those individuals are just kind of unique. You have a lot of built up just personal equity and knowledge of these people. And essentially what Dan Quinn's saying is, like, get to know these guys. And I think Antonio Pierce has a natural ability of connecting with guys. That's going to be the least of his worries. He's good at that, clearly. It's going to be running the team, which is clearly a really, really hard thing to do on Sundays in the sport of football, right? Because it's the game becomes a little less about that on Sunday and more about we're playing chess. And he has to coach the coaches from a chess standpoint. How do we focus on the weaknesses, the strengths? I'll give him credit. He brought Marvin Lewis, who's his boy, longtime head coach, Tom Coughlin. Like, these guys are surrounding him. I'm always impressed when impressive people like a certain individual. That's why I bought into Dan Campbell. It's like, wait, Sean Payton loved this guy for, this guy was assistant head coach? Parcells was the guy that drafted this guy and got him into coaching? Here's an interesting question for you. How do teams evaluate front office talent? It seems as though organizations that continuously go through brain drains still hold up over time. Ravens, Eagles, Niners, do they know how to develop scouts and analysts better, or do they simply get better people to come work for them through reputation and higher salaries? Combination of both. Obviously, if you're willing to pay the most, you can steal the best talent. Like, if Google, Facebook, Apple, they want a top engineer, they can outbid any company. If Howie Roseman wants to get the cream of the crop, he did this years ago with Joe Douglas, Andrew Berry, he will cut a check from Jeffrey Lurie. I think the Ravens are a good example of, and I talked to Darius Hayward Bay, who now works for them. They have a culture of what they look for, of how the front office works. And it's been like that for 25 years. So if you go there to work, they teach you what to do. and you either shape in or shape out. And we've seen a ton of guys over the years shape in and become very, very successful organizations. Same thing the Niners are doing now. It starts at the top, and then it bleeds down, and you teach what you want, what you look for, the type players we like, what's expected of you. It's very, very clear. So there's not a guessing game. And I think a lot of teams don't have any identity. All football programs, college and pro, say the same shit. Want tough, hard-nosed, guys that love ball. Family, faith, and football. Everyone says we want tough guys, guys that are passionate. Football's life. It's like, yeah, we get that. But do you know the actual players to look for that actually have that? Because the Ravens have figured that out over the years. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have a pretty good idea. Right? Howie learned this from Andy. A lot of emphasis on the line of scrimmage. And if you just build up the line of scrimmage, defensive and offensive line, for the most part, you're going to be competitive. So I think, like, let's use the Panthers as an example. And the Browns for years. You just run through people and run through ideas. Like, what does your organization stand for? Beside, like, God, family, football. There's not, like, a clear identity. The Ravens have had two guys running the organization, and Ozzie's still there since the 90s. DaCosta has been there forever. He worked under Ozzie for all that time. Packers are a good example. Pretty sure Brian Gutekunst has been with the Packers for a long, long time. From Ron to Ted to Goot. It's like their identity hasn't changed. Philosophically, they have an idea of exactly what they're looking for. I think a lot of these teams are just constantly kind of trying to reinvent the wheel, starting from scratch. It's not really how it works. And part of it, you got to be willing to go through some tough times if you believe in the vision. And this probably works at any walk of life in terms of an industry. If you're constantly changing management, we're all different humans. We all have different beliefs. But any organization that's able to hire from within, promote from within, because you're able to train those guys. It's why Bill's coaches were so successful for him. They all started at the bottom, in the mailroom. He taught them everything they needed to know. So by the time they became coordinators or college directors or, you know, his GM and Casario or whatever, they knew exactly what he wanted. So it was all like one vision. There wasn't any guessing games. How many times in your office or your job, when positions change and new ownership or new management, and no one's on the same page? It's like, what are we doing? And everyone below the top guy is like, this doesn't make any sense. No one says that with the Ravens when they change from Ozzie to DaCosta. Because nothing changed. Obviously, he's a different human. But pretty clear, you just watch their team. It looks exactly the same. So I think part of it, and look at Andy and Veach. I think there's just a clear vision of what is needed. And everyone's on the same page. I think that goes a long, long way of no guessing. Of complete understanding, not just, you know, throwing shit at the wall hoping some of it sticks. I think you'd be shocked. It's the NFL. How many, I don't want to say incompetent, how many people are in roles that they have no business for? And then it eventually shows for us when we're watching the games. I'm a partner at a wealth management investment firm that manages assets for wealthy families. I love my job. But the worst part is dealing with those that didn't do shit to earn it and yet expect everyone to treat them like they did. So your take on Jonathan Kraft couldn't be more relatable. As a Cowboys fan, I have nothing to look forward to considering we got bounced in the first round and our team has only gotten worse. Is there any moves you can see Jerry making that would give us any optimism for the next 2 or 3 years? Also, if this makes it on the pod, please don't say my name. Didn't say his name. it's funny, you know, because let's just say your dad made a lot of money. You spend a lot of time around your dad. It just becomes like through osmosis, I am my dad too. And we've all been around these people. And I've been around people on both sides. People that act like you would never know the kid. And the kids that just are fucking like, are you serious right now? What'd Jim Harbaugh say about Ryan Day? Born on third base, homie. Some people were born at home plate. And listen, you can't control who your parents are. I could have been born in, you know, poverty-stricken area somewhere around the world. Or I could have been born in, you know, Manhattan. My dad's a billionaire. It's all out of all of our control. But it is in your control how you operate and how you think. And, you know, Jonathan Kraft, to me, I just think you can see this coming from a mile away. I would say with Jerry, I think the best thing at this point in time, why re-sign Dak? Why extend Dak? You're already under the cap with this massive cap number. Play it out. If that happens again, we got to make a different decision. But this notion that you have to extend him, he's better than mediocre, but he's slightly above that. When you sign guys like him constantly and then you complain, and it wasn't his fault you lost to the Packers, even though he did not play well. The defense was abysmal. I mean, it was probably one of the worst defensive games of the entire playoffs. Actually had to be the worst, thinking about it. I just think you hope you nail some draft picks. You got Micah Parsons. You got some good defensive linemen. You got some good DBs. You got Dak. You got CeeDee Lamb. Maybe hit on a running back. Hit on another offensive lineman. And just hope your team. I mean, Jerry's drafted well. You probably have some young players you've never even heard of. Most of you didn't know who Bland was 2 years ago. So they do a good job in the draft. And hope you don't shit the bed in the playoffs. I mean, and part of it would be maybe Mike Zimmer, the defense a little better, especially in big spots. But your roster's kind of your roster. I don't expect some huge, like all of a sudden, Tyreek Hill's on the team or something. So you just got to hope he hits on the draft picks. Which, if you're going to defend Jerry for one thing, he hits on picks. So if you could land several starters and impact players, maybe a couple of your practice squad guys step up and make big steps, which has happened a lot for you guys over the last several years, you guys could be very competitive. But at this point in time, let's face it, we're all judging you on the playoffs. McCarthy's in his last year. You can't be getting bounced in the first round as a massive, massive home favorite. It can't happen. It's also one thing to lose, another thing to get your ass kicked. It's one of the worst playoff losses in recent memory. I'd say the worst playoff loss of the last 5 years got to be the Bills. I mean, they're up with 13 seconds left. You can't lose that game. You could put the Cowboys right up there. You really could. They find a way to win the division, get a home game. Jordan Love comes in and drops. If you said, John, what was the score of the Cowboy-Packer first-round game? It feels like it was 75-10. I mean, seriously, that's what it feels like. I mean, seriously, it feels like 55-14. I don't know. I feel like the final score was actually like 44-25. But it felt much more like, 55-7, something like that. And Jerry, you trust.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.